sure all the speakers are willing to take any questions.
I'm sure that the I was going to say malpractice, I don't know if that's the right word, that happened at Aberfan wasn't unique to that tip, and I'm sure there are plenty of other tips around South Wales that were accidents that were ready to happen. In the work that Halco, I think it was, wasn't it, after the disaster, did they actually identify any tips that would have failed and had a similar effect to Aberfan, and through the disaster that was prevented?
I don't know the precise answer to that. What I would say is that the evidence of work done by Halco and some that I was involved in indicated that for massive tips like that, there are really only two times they fail. Once is when they're being built, and clearly regulations were put in charge in to make sure that that didn't happen again. And the second is if people don't maintain the drainage, such that the drainage fails and the water pressures build up in the tip again and then they go. I don't know whether they prevented another accident like that. It's difficult to tell, maybe because of the, you know, they stopped maybe some tips being built in certain directions.
The tips that was present in 1966 and the other values.
Yeah, I can't give you a straight answer. I mean,
I think I can give you an answer to that.
Oh, there you go then.
I was the systems engineer for the National Coal Board. During the late 70s and the 80s, and the rain quality had come, the actual pit number 567, was very, very similar to Aberfan. And we actually went the whole length of the village. There was a school at the bottom, primary school, which was demolished. And then we went the whole length of the village on top of the Argillaceous seam, which was referred to earlier, which was emanating a number of springs. And the whole length of the village, we put an adit in, then blasted the sandstone above to generate all the water to take it away. It was a very, very similar to Aberfan. And the Coal Board actually made a statement through me, on News at 10 actually, appeared on the bongs, saying to that effect that the nearest similar tip to Aberfan was now rectified and deemed secure. So it had nearly all exactly the same characteristics that Aberfan had.
So that's another positive effect of what happened?
Yes, it was a result of it. As a result of the 1969 Act and 71 regulations, which was referred to earlier, the Coal Board, all groups, as we've already heard, did a tremendous amount of work, and the Coal Board then established their own teams to make sure that inspections, etc. My colleague, Bill Board, who is another district civil engineer with the Coal Board at the time. Sorry to interrupt there, but...
That was one of the best interruptions I've ever heard. Thank you. I would add to that, though, we mentioned about rail engineers, civil engineers, we mustn't forget these rules and these messages and so on. I had an example of a project when I was working with the Morgan County Council in the mid-90s, which was an architect-led project. And the architect and the quantity surveyor had tendered from the council to the Roman Catholic Church to build a new primary school in Aberdeen. They won. And then they came and saw me. I was the in-house geotechnical guy, and they said, here's the plans, can you organise some ground investigations? We need the foundation sorted and so on. About 10 minutes later, I came along to see them. I said, are you aware that there's a large tip immediately upslope of this proposed brand new primary school? And do you know whether it's stable or not? And they said, tip? What tip? Do you mean that mound that I stood on to take some really nice photographs looking down on the site? And the architect basically couldn't even recognise a tip. I could only vaguely forgive him for that, because actually it was very well vegetated because it was stable. But the fact was, it was bleeding obvious it was a tip. And I did flag up to him, you can build this school if you like, but if you can't make sure that that tip is stable, no child will ever go into it. So, you know, this is something that we need to work very hard, and I know within the Geological Society and others, we keep on trying to do this, but we do find that half the time we're actually preaching to the converted, because it's people who understand some of these things that are actually coming into the audience of these sorts of lectures. We do need to get out to other professions where we possibly can, and where they'll actually bother to turn up to a lecture talking about ground engineering.
Well, I would say it's not just architects. It goes to our colleagues who are civil engineers, highways engineers, structural engineers, and I'm sorting out a mess at the moment caused exactly a contract put together by somebody with no knowledge of the ground, completely ignoring the hazards and risks. So it's not, we have to look beyond our own, we have to look beyond, not just beyond our own profession, but within our own profession, within the civil engineers, within the structural engineers. And that's, unfortunately, a lesson that hasn't been learned.
I can echo that from a seminar I ran a couple of years ago on risk, where there was a group of engineers from the Welsh Government, and they put their hand up at one stage and said, you know, we hear what you say, and 80% of what's been said so far we've heard before, we recognise it as good and best practice. And I said, are you doing it? They said, no. So I said, why? That was the end of that conversation. Very, very difficult.
Two comments, if I may. I was educated at Trefoil School of Mines, qualified as a mining surveyor, and I worked as a mining surveyor in the 40s and 50s. And we were told in Trefoil School of Mines about the slip on tip four, by Herbert Richards, the lecturer in geology, and he also told us about the previous occurrence at north of Kilvanaith in Pontypridd. Mining surveyors were aware of the dangers of tipping on slope grounds. The lady from the geological BGS mentioned Dr. Woodlands. I had the pleasure of spending over a week with him going round the Ogmore valleys and looking at the ground conditions on which tips should never be sighted. So the knowledge was there at the time, but unfortunately it was never the role of the surveyor, who after all, as a surveyor of a colliery, he was responsible for looking at the geology, but not only of underground, but the colliery surfaces. Strangely, in the Aberfan report, surveyor isn't mentioned. The engineers are blamed. The two engineers went up to look at the site. They didn't take a map with them. I would suggest that they'd ask the colliery surveyor to go with them. The first thing he would have done was to get the Ordnance Survey maps that was available to him. And the last thing I'd like to comment on is that the importance of accuracy of these television programs. They did a very good job, but they just concentrated on the colliery engineers, who didn't at that time have a real understanding or role in the question of tipping.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Yes, some people did know, and in fact it even got into literature in How Green Was My Valley. There was a section in there which talks about the potential for a tip to come down at some stage, and that was written in 1939 and made into a Hollywood film in 1941. So it was already being talked about even in literature, let alone in science and engineering. Pete.
Yeah, there's lots of black and white photographs at Cardiff Bay in the late 60s with the boot docks, which is basically a rubbish tip, being infilled with colliery spoil. And there's always been the story that the colliery spoil came from Aberfan. I was just wondering, did anybody know whether that was actually true or not?
My knowledge, everything went up to Canuck Tip. I think that's right, Andrew. Yeah, nods from the Coal Authority at the back. So, no, nothing was done there. I did work on a scheme where they were talking about bringing spoil from Albion Tip, which is near Kilvenith, down to Cardiff Bay to preload some soft compressible materials at a development site so that they could actually develop it. But that scheme never happened. It would have helped stabilise the tip, which has been moving historically, but very slowly. But that never happened.
Does this clean the Portugal just look like tip material?
Yeah. Well, I'd be surprised if it is tip material. I mean, the old dock at Porthcawl is filled with tip material. It's the car park that's there now.
If you go down at the change of tide, you can see the water flowing out from underneath the bridge, black. Yeah, it's developed a lovely saucer-like subsidence profile on the car park. Yes. And I can name the collieries supplies the dirt that went in there.
Okay, we won't go into that level of detail. Thank you. Any final questions, please? No? Well, thanks very much for attending. All our thanks to the presenters this evening. I hope that in the future everything will be much safer than it clearly has been in the past. And if you'd all like to thank the speakers in the normal manner, that'd be really good.